here we go. Happy Wednesday. Headlines on Sophie and Dick Without Dick are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
You're looking for tickets for the next Kraken home game tomorrow. San Jose and the Mighty Sharks in town. VenueKings.com can set you up for that game. Other Kraken games, concerts at Climate Pledge Arena, Husky Basketball. They're red hot, baby. Check out VenueKings.com. Be sure and use code Sophie at checkout for a little discount. So speaking of the Kraken, 7 postponed games have been rescheduled. They've gone from 3 games in February to 10, by the way. They had that Olympic break that obviously is not going to happen because the NHLers are not going to China. So they got some time to make them up. Now, 10 games in February, some highlights. The December 21st game against Arizona was rescheduled for the 9th of February. December 19th against Toronto now will be played on the 14th on Valentine's Day. And the January 4th game against the Islanders rescheduled for February 22nd. There's more games to check out, so go to the website and look at the Kraken schedule, and you'll see all the rescheduled games. Husky basketball tomorrow, 8 o'clock, pregame 8:30, tip-off against Oregon State over on 1090. Sounders announcing the re-signing of goalkeeper Stephen Cleveland. Remember, he stepped in for Stephen Fry and played pretty good, made 15 starts, including 3 shutouts. Husky football announcing a home-and-home with Tennessee. They go to at Neyland Stadium in 2029 when I'll be 56 years old.
Oh.
And a chance that I'm not even working here, by the way, by then. NFL news, Tampa Bay head coach Bruce Arians fined $50,000 for slapping the helmet of safety Andrew Adams during the win over Philadelphia on Sunday. Arians says he will appeal the fine. The Giants requesting permission to talk to Dan Quinn about their vacant head coaching job. And NCAA football, Steve Sarkisian adding former TCU head coach Gary Patterson as a special assistant to his staff at Texas.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, here we go. 3-on-3, Softy and Dick without Dick. He is out for the rest of the week. Got some special stuff planned for you today on the radio show. Actually, that's a lie. There's nothing special. It's the same boring crap we always do every single day on the program. Nothing changes. The monotony continues right here on 950 KJR.
This isn't crap, though.
Nothing.
Wednesdays are the favorite days of the football season.
Let's see. Here's the deal, man. You say it's crap, you kind of sell low, and then maybe surprise a couple of people. So if I tell you it's going to be a turd between now and 7 o'clock and it ends up being okay, I mean, okay, mediocre would typically be looked at as exactly that. Mediocre. It's just meh. It's mediocrity. But if I tell you it's going to be horrible, painful, absolutely awful radio for the next 4 hours, and we can find a way to get to meh, that's a win for us here on the radio show, baby. Let me tell you something. So Dick is out the rest of the week. He's in Palm Springs. Can I say where he is? I guess I just did.
We just did, yeah.
He's in Palm Springs at the golf tournament with his son. So he'll be back on Monday. But Mike Florio will join us in a matter of minutes here.
How dare you?
On the air. Petros coming up as well at his normal spot at 4:05, courtesy of Sweet James. Kevin Harlan's got basketball for TNT tomorrow. Football. He's doing the Packer-Niner game for Westwood One Radio on Saturday. So he's got a full plate. He'll join us at 5 o'clock on the air. And then coming up at 6 o'clock tonight on the air, I am actually excited about this conversation at 6 p.m. I don't think that we have spoken to Cody Pickett on this radio show in a long, long time. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it's been 15 years, 20 years since he's been on the air with us. He may have been on the air with us when he was with the Niners, and he may have been on the air with us. I think he was introduced at one point as the third quarter legend at UW, and he may have come by our pregame show. But outside of that, I know for sure the last time he was with us is when he played for UW, and that was in 2003, 20 damn years ago. So Cody Pickett got a real big-time medical scare a while back. He's going to join us and talk about what he went through, and I think it's a very important message, right? I mean, we like to goof around, putz around here on the radio show, and most of what we offer you guys between 3 and 7 o'clock every day is totally, completely worthless. This, though, is not. This is some information I think everybody should hear from Cody Pickett, one of the great Husky quarterbacks ever. So we'll talk some dogs with him, get his thoughts on Kalen DeBoer, Sam Heward, Michael Penix, Dylan Morris, the whole spiel, and talk about what he's been up to at 6:05 tonight. But with Mike Florio coming up in a matter of minutes, I want to talk about the Bruce Arians situation with him. Are you aware of what happened with the Bruce Arians situation? So this is kind of, I'm looking for another phrase besides near and dear to our hearts, because that would not apply. But it's very relevant.
Relevant, yes.
In
exactly.
Seattle, because of what we just went through with Jimmy Lake and the Oregon game and Rocky back in November. So, for those that don't know, Buccaneers beat the Eagles on Sunday, and Bruce Arians was caught on camera slapping the helmet of a safety, a kid by the name of Andrew Adams, during the win, and then they say that he also, I believe they are accusing him of putting his elbow or shoulder into him.
Oh, jeez.
And if you watch the highlight or the video, it's not really a highlight, but if you watch the clip, it looks to me like Bruce Arians is reaching out to maybe grab him by the face mask and pull him back, but the guy turns his head away from Bruce and he ends up slapping his helmet and then kind of stumbles and falls down, at which point his elbow or his shoulder ends up falling into him. And listen, I'm not naive enough or stupid enough to not understand the sensitive world that we live in right now, okay? Especially when it comes to authority figures like Bruce Arians and a subordinate like a player. I understand that. So I understand the optics. It's the same conversation that we had with Jimmy Lake. It's bad optics, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, you know that it's bad optics in general terms when a head coach slaps a player on the helmet and gets physical with him. But I also wonder what people's reaction is to this, because Bruce Arians got fined $50,000. And I put a tweet out today, which we'll read some of the responses, asking people what their take was. Flavor Wrench on Twitter says he'd make Andrew Adams pay the fine. I'm sick of this powder puff culture. Todd, do players get fined the amount when they do the same thing? If so, it's totally justified. Jordan Lee, should him and Jimmy Lake grab drinks together? That's a funny. Jordan's trying to make a funny. Aaron writes, I'm assuming the players' union made a stink to the NFL. Otherwise, this should have been handled internally like the Bucks. And Be Real Garnett, @real_Garnett on Twitter, says it's stupid, like 99% of the fines they give. So I'm curious to know a couple things. And we might have to come back and talk about this on the air at 3:30. Like, actually discuss this. Like regular people, have an actual conversation, take some calls, not live through the text line or the email or the Twitter sphere. How about that for an idea? We actually open the phone lines up at 3:30, 3:45, and we ask you guys what you think of Bruce Arians getting fined by the NFL. He's appealing the fine, by the way, $50,000, because I got to be honest with you, man, and I'm going to say something, and I know if my boss is listening right now, or Kevin Shockey's in his office, he's got his hands on both sides of his head, and he's like, what is about to come out of that idiot's mouth. I don't have a problem with it. I just really don't. And maybe it's because I wasn't there. Maybe it's because I'm not the player. Maybe it's because I'm not a teammate of the guy. Maybe I should have more context. Maybe I should have been there. Maybe there's more to the story. I understand all that. But if a player, and we've seen this many, many times, and Bruce is claiming that he was trying to avoid a circumstance from brewing, personal foul, 15-yard penalty, maybe a fight breaking out, whatever. He claims he was trying to get this guy away from harm's way. How many times do we see a player walk up to another player, grab a guy by the face mask, smack him in the head, and say, what are you doing? Happens all the time. And nobody bats an eye. If you're about to have a confrontation at work, for example, let's say you and me are about to throw down, come to blows, and Rich Moore steps in front of you or I and pushes you out of the way to avoid a confrontation. I don't have any problem with that.
No problem.
But there's a world that people live in where none of this, no matter what the context, no matter what led up to it, is justified. So I want to get some thoughts on that. 49451, and we'll talk about it coming up too at 3:30. Let's get Mike Florio's take right now.
It's time for a weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
41 yards!
All right, here we go. Big thanks to our friends at SimplySeattle.com. You got your eye on a Sonic item, something you've always wanted, but you're waiting for the discount code. Here it is, Softy Sonics 20. for 20% off anything Sonic related right now. Softy Sonics 20 for 20% off anything Sonic related on the website at simplyseattle.com. This is great because Dick is out today. He's out the rest of the week, so I get to have some Florio time to myself. I've been missing my Florio time, and now I have it back. Michael, how are you?
I've told you that I'm happy to co-host with you on the days where you're by yourself.
Okay, I'm ready tomorrow and Friday from 3 to 7 Pacific.
No, thanks. Sorry, I'm busy.
Yeah, you're busy. That's what I thought. So, you know what? I just walked right into it. Here I am thinking that maybe for once in your life you're genuine and you're just a smart ass like you've always.
Oh, I'm a genuine ass.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't make any bones about that.
Let's talk about the Bruce Arians fine, the Bruce Arians situation. I could give you my take, but that's not relevant.
I heard
right
it
now.
On the way in. Okay. I heard it on the way in.
What's your take? Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me.
No, look, there's a bright line, and there was a time in football where laying hands on players was acceptable. I grew up in the 70s. I played at a Catholic grade school in fifth grade, first year I played, 10 years old. And if you were lollygagging, if you were loafing, if you were standing around, a grown-up kicked you in the ass. Kicked you in the ass if you were standing around. And to this day, frankly, one of the reasons, and this is deep-seated psychotherapy type stuff, one of the reasons that I constantly work and constantly move and never stop and never slow down is at some level, I believe if I stand around, I'm going to get kicked in the ass. Mm. And, you know, here we are 40 years later, 46 years later, and I still think about that. And I think about other things that happened at football practices. There was a time when one of the kids pulled up on a special teams punt drill because he didn't want to take the punt right in the face because we had the single bar face mask. So the coach made him do it over and over again, and the coach was the one who continuously punted the ball right into his face, and you're standing there watching it. I mean, there was a time when that kind of rough coaching, that kind of physical coaching was acceptable. It's no longer acceptable. There's a bright line there, and I don't care what the explanation is. I don't care what the excuse is. Yeah. Trying to keep Andrew Adams from committing a penalty by pulling a guy off the pile. He slapped him in the helmet. He followed through with an elbow, and then he shoved him in the chest. It's a bright line that should not be crossed, and it's a message to coaches at every level of sport, because at the lower level, at the youth level, there are a lot of yahoos out there that don't yet understand that you can't physically or verbally abuse these players, and it happens. And this is a message to them to not do it.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely a message. You and I can agree on that entirely. I mean, Jimmy Lake partially lost his job because of what happened against Oregon back in November, and Bruce Arians just got fined $50,000. So
hey, Urban Meyer got fired, even though they claimed that this wasn't the final straw.
Right.
I think anyone with a brain realizes that the Jaguars decided, once Josh Lambeau came out and said, I was kicked by Urban Meyer at practice, that Meyer had to go. So I got reaction from somebody connected to the league after the news came out who had been telling me behind the scenes they need to do something about this. The reaction was he should feel very fortunate that it wasn't worse than $50,000.
Yeah. Well, I guess if Urban Meyer was 10-1 at Jacksonville when that happened, maybe things would have been different, just like they may have been.
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's why, hey, there's another wrinkle to all of this that I think applies regardless of what happened on Sunday, and that is the reality that the Buccaneers are looking at possibly losing one or both of their coordinators under Bruce Arians at a time where he is delegating a significant amount of the workload to them. And they have done this in the past where in order to keep a coordinator like Dirk Cutter, they will fire the head coach. Now, they wouldn't fire Bruce Arians. Maybe they'd nudge him into retirement like the Steelers did 10 years ago. I don't know that what happens Sunday, if they're already thinking about that this is the time to transition from Arians to one of the two coordinators, what happened on Sunday doesn't make it less likely to happen. Let's just put it that way.
Well, speaking of coordinators, Mike, I'm trying to remember the last time an NFL football team fired their offensive coordinator after going 8th in scoring, and then their defensive coordinator after going 11th in scoring. Those are pretty good finishes for any offense or defense in the NFL. And both coordinators, and Schottenheimer and Ken Norton Jr., just got fired in Seattle. How about Ken Norton Jr. getting whacked yesterday?
Well, and that's kind of strange to me, just because if the defense is a problem, your coach is a defensive specialist.
Yes.
So how does the coach stay but the coordinator go? Why is the coordinator the fall guy for unacceptable performance of the defense when the head coach is a defensive guy? So that one's a head-scratcher, and that one may be a sign, number one, of how close it came to happening, to Pete Carroll this time around, and number two, how hot his seat may be in 2022. I personally believe, based on things I've heard, the buyout really saved him. You know, when you look at, and I've heard that people believe he's making more than $15 million a year, even though the official numbers wouldn't be there. I don't know how many years he's got left under contract, but you're looking at a major, major buyout obligation, and I think that that helped save him.
Yeah, he signed a five-year extension during the middle of the 2020 season.
November of 20.
Right,
yep.
Last year. So, yeah, I mean, if he hadn't signed that deal, who knows? He may not be here anymore. But what are you hearing as far as names? I mean, there's a bunch of names out there. Hearing about Sean Desai, I think his name is, the D.C. in Chicago, Ed Donatell. I've mentioned Vic Fangio. That's not really Carroll's way, Mike. He doesn't hire ex-coaches, ex-head coaches, unless your name is Tom Cable. Who would be at the top of your list in Seattle?
Well, here's what becomes interesting. Are you going to continue with your Seattle defense, your cover three defense? Is that what you're doing? Or are you thinking about doing something different? Because why would you hire somebody who doesn't run the defense that you run? So that's really the question. Is he thinking about doing something radical, like, I don't know, hiring Mike Zimmer and using a cover two-based scheme?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be nutty if it happened. That would be an abandonment of everything that Pete Carroll's done over the course of the last decade. So I really don't think it matters, because at the end of the day, he's the one that runs the show.
Yeah.
And I guess we have to approach it from the perspective of acknowledging that Carroll runs the show. Who's the best coordinator to complement Carroll and get the most out of the defense? Not who's the best guy to run the defense. Who's the best guy to complement Pete Carroll, and together they work to make the defense better? And, of course, you need better players defensively, too, which is a separate issue.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com.
Abba.
NFL and NBC, PFT Live with us on the radio show. So the Packer-Niner line opened at 4.5, and now at some spots is up to 6.5. And there's some folks in some, you know, small, dark, nefarious circles around the NFL that think that maybe that's because Jimmy G's not going to play. What are you hearing?
Well, I don't know that it matters with or without Jimmy G, frankly. They're counting on Trey Lance to have a big week as the scout team quarterback so they can be prepared to face Aaron Rodgers. I think not having Nick Bosa, who's in the concussion protocol and quite possibly won't play, that makes it harder to put heat on Aaron Rodgers and keep him from picking apart a very suspect secondary. One of the things the Cowboys failed to do, Troy Aikman was on radio in Dallas today criticizing the Cowboys for not throwing the ball more to CeeDee Lamb when he was in single coverage.
Yep.
So Aaron Rodgers is not going to fail to deliver the football to anyone who is open or even partially open. He can thread the needle with the best of them. I think it's a tough spot for the 49ers. And, you know, our recent history is the 49ers manhandle the Packers in the postseason. But this is Lambeau Field. This is a Packers team that is firing on all cylinders. And it's a 49ers team that is dragged down by its weak link of Jimmy Garoppolo. And if any of its key players isn't available to play like a Nick Bosa, they have a major problem.
Who's the next quarterback in Pittsburgh?
You know, that's a great question. And my position is the Steelers need to recognize that they have the upper hand here. They can just sit back and wait. There are plenty of quarterbacks out there that would be better than their in-house alternative of Mason Rudolph and maybe Dwayne Haskins, although we don't know what he currently has. He doesn't have enough to overcome Rudolph to become the backup this year, which is kind of alarming. But you know, is Aaron Rodgers somebody that wants to go to Pittsburgh? Is Russell Wilson somebody that wants to go to Pittsburgh? You know, when you're looking at these veterans who may be trying to find greener grass, the Steelers, with what they have defensively, with Najee Harris, with their receivers, their offensive line needs some work, but Mike Tomlin and the kind of coach he is, they're going to be an attractive landing spot, and it's not going to take much to be better than what they've had recently. Usually when a Hall of Fame quarterback walks off into the sunset, he leaves a long shadow. The problem for the Steelers has been that Roethlisberger has been a shadow of his former self. It makes it very easy for someone to step right in. No one's going to say, boy, how are you going to follow Ben Roethlisberger? Because the Ben Roethlisberger of the last 2 years has not been very good. So I really do think the Steelers offer a great location for a veteran quarterback, and they should just wait and see, because they may end up coming out of it with a pretty good deal. Somebody may take a lot less money to play for them than they would want somewhere else.
Well, Mike Florio again with us.
I'm a genuine ass.
Courtesy of our friends at Simply Seattle. Great
job. You turned that around fast.
That was really impressive, Jackson.
I'm a genuine ass.
Unbelievable. All right, what about the other games this weekend? I mean, every game looks like a freaking toss-up. I mean, Vegas is just given the obligatory 3 points for the home teams for the most part, but do you see upsets this weekend? If so, where?
Well, we only had one last week, which was surprising. Only one road team won in a season where there wasn't much by way of home field advantage. I thought that half of the road teams would win in the wild card round. Last year, four of the road teams won in the wild card round. So the Titans, if they get Derrick Henry back and he can play, I don't know how the Bengals can keep up with them.
Yeah.
If Derrick Henry is healthy, he only played in eight games this year. He'll be rested and fresh, and he can run through and around a defense that has been somewhat suspect. They let the Raiders hang around far too long on Saturday in their first playoff win in more than 30 years. The Rams-Buccaneers game, who knows what's going to happen there. The Rams need to be able to run the ball. They did it with Cam Akers on Monday night. It's going to be harder to do it against the Buccaneers defense. Can the Buccaneers run the ball? Do they have enough healthy people to make things go? Can their defense hold up? I agree with you. We're doing our picks tomorrow. I have no idea. I'm leaning heavily toward the Packers, but for the other three games, yeah. I have no idea. And that Bills-Chiefs game, I wish it was the AFC Championship
again.
I do, too.
I agree.
Those other two teams, the Raiders, or not the Raiders, but the Bengals and the Titans should be thrilled that they're not in a position where they have to play the Bills 1 week and the Chiefs the next week. They only have to play one of those two teams because those are the two best teams right now in that conference.
Mike, I know your time is money. Really appreciate what you do for us. It's a highlight of my week, and we'll talk in a week.
Please, just stop.
Compliment you without you being a smartass every freaking
time? I'm a genuine ass. You're a phony.
You're a phony. Wow. You know what?
You're a phony.
I'm taking back my holiday card. Send it back.
Oh, you know what? I did get it. My wife said, who is this? Did it come to the wrong address? I'm a genuine ass.
All right. We'll see you in a week. Bye.
Bye.
Mike Florio with us, ProFootballTalk.com. Big thanks to our friends at SimplySeattle.com. And again, if you've had your eye on a particular Sonic item, maybe there's something that's like, I don't know, a little pricey and you're waiting for the discount, man. I mean, 20% off. It's not too shabby, huh? So jump on the website. Use code SOFTYSONICS20 at checkout for anything Sonic-related on the website. You know what I want to do next segment, Jackson?
Yeah?
I want to take some calls.
Oh,
I want to open the phone lines up at 286-9595. I want to talk to somebody. I don't care if it's one person that calls the radio show and we talk for like 10 minutes. I remember listening, I swear to God, and he would kill me. You know what? I can't say it.
Well, see, now you've already opened the door.
He's tuning in right now. He listens all the time.
Oh, I see.
Do you realize there was actually a point in time where we asked Hugh Millen to host a solo show? It was a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
And I think Tom Lee put him on the air. It's like 85 degrees out. Beautiful day. Nobody's listening. Beautiful day. Maybe even going head-to-head against the Mariner game. Begging for calls. One guy called up. Millen held him for two segments. I don't care if it's one guy. I want to get somebody's take on this Bruce Arians thing. Bruce Arians got fined $50,000. Oh, look at the headline. If you just saw this headline, what would you think if you did not see the video? Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians fined $50,000 for striking safety Andrew Adams.
Oh.
If you hadn't seen the headline or the video.
I would have thought he would have thrown a helmet at the guy.
You would have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, am I out of line here in saying that this is a little bit of an exaggeration on what happened with this thing? So, 286 9595 800-829-0950. I want to talk to somebody. Somebody. I don't care if it's one person. And I want to talk about this thing. Is this the right thing to do to find a coach for smacking a player in a helmet? Next on 950 KJR.